guys, it's Lynn from Society9, founder and CEO. It's time for another podcast. I've also got Megan.
Hello.
All the sales and marketing magic that you get to experience comes from her. So we're here for another podcast episode. We're really excited because we have Jill Morley on the call today. Golden Gloves winner, Masters champion. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, ma'am.
And a documentarian as well as a boxing trainer at a academy called Coeur de Lion in Los Angeles. Really excited to have her. She actually was the person who connected us to Maureen, the real $1 million baby Shay, who was also a podcast guest a few episodes ago. So we're really excited to have Jill this time. Really quickly, for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, Society9 is the brand for the fight in every woman, and we make the best boxing and MMA gear for women out there. So, without further ado, I would love to transition to Jill. Jill, I would love for you to share with our audience your background, how your Golden Gloves journey, especially if nobody has seen the Fight Like a Girl documentary yet, which I recommend all of you do because
everybody.
Yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful documentary about
the
literal highs and lows of not just fighting on a superficial level, but really how it correlates to life and its own struggles, and how there's so much more beyond sport that is attached to this moniker of fighter. And Jill interweaves her personal story as well as different fighters' stories into that journey. So it's done so beautifully. I mean, I cried. I had chills.
We were messes. It's okay.
Yeah, we were hot messes. I think there's elements in the film that anybody who either is going through challenges themselves or if they know somebody going through their own personal fight through anxiety, depression, but also finding healthy outlets to transmit that. That energy and those challenges, this is the epitome of empathy is this film. So Jill, please take it away. Would love for you to share your story with us.
Okay. Well, it's a long story, so I'll just try to go highlight wise. I was always a writer and I love telling stories. So I've been doing that for a long, long time. And then when I got to be a certain age, I thought, you know what? I want to compete in a contact sport before I get too old. So the age was 40, by the way. So when I turned 40, I took up boxing and I met all these amazing women and I started wanting to put a camera on them. I know how hard it is to make a documentary. I've already made one feature doc and I kind of been dreading, like I didn't want to do it, but they were so amazing that I was compelled to do it. So I did that. And then during that time, I learned how to box. So, which is also, it makes me laugh because in the movie, it's like the worst boxing I've ever seen by anybody. And it's me.
Hey, and, it's the journey, Jill. It's the journey.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we say at Society9. It's all about the journey.
Oh, did I have a journey? So it took some years, but my film isn't about that. It's not about showing, whatever my skills. It's more about, women fighting their inner demons and how martial arts and boxing, in my case, can be actually healing, which is a counterintuitive to what a lot of other people think, So with the film out, I'm still doing like colleges, doing women's empowerment groups. I'm going to let this group use it as a fundraiser for a teen program for girls to learn boxing in New York. And so I have been enjoying going around the country with the film. And then I also usually teach a boxing class. So I have 20 pairs of boxing gloves that I put in my suitcase and some mitts. And I try to teach. I get people to come really who are local from a gym, and I, if they don't really know how to hold mitts, I'll try and show them. And then we go and we teach the girls, and it's so much fun. And I think the best part is just seeing the girls realize their own power and that they have physical power, as well as everything else.
And, realize their own power. I love
yes,
that.
So that's, it can be transformative. I mean, I know it has been for me, boxing has been. And I'd like to help, you know, bring that to other women. So come to today where, you know, I start off, you know, writer, filmmaker, I'm still doing that, but I spend half my time, maybe more, with the boxing still. Like, I'm still just, I'm coaching, I'm training. I'm not fighting so much anymore, but I am training two girls to fight in the amateurs right now. We're getting new girls every few weeks that hear about the place, because I teach a class for women. It's called Ladies mm-hmm. Who Punch, and it's
Your Facebook group.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Thanks. And so women in the LA area basically can join it. Anyone can join it, but it's just, it gives you an update on our classes, and I'll tell you what we're working on that week, or, you know, if people want matchups, I'll try to help them find matches, because it's really hard, you know, as you know, mm-hmm. as a female fighter at any weight class, really, to find matches. So yeah, just trying to do my part in that way. And I'm continuing to write, I'm writing two screenplays right now. One of them does have to do with has a female fight theme. So that's that. And then, I don't know, in my journey, I mean, it's in my film. It's just, you know, just being kind of shy and awkward and homely and, you know, then I became an actress where I could feel like I had permission to, you know, express myself. And then through that, I wound up actually writing and performing my own monologues. And through that, I wound up stripping and doing go-go girl work.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's a weird thing. I can't forget it because I'm scarred, but no, I'm not scarred. It wasn't, you know, but yeah, it was just like the best material I had ever seen up until that point in my young life is, you know, what goes on in a go-go bar and backstage and with the other women. And I wanted to also take that kind of awful, stupid, dumb bimbo stigma away from the women that did it, because I knew a lot of mm-hmm. really smart girls mm-hmm. and artists who were just doing it to get by. And then also during that time, though, I'm really sensitive, and it's really hard for me to be that false for that long. Mm-hmm. And it started to affect me, and I had to quit. And, you know, it's really hard to start working a regular job, or, like, for me, it was walking dogs, getting $10 a walk when, you know, you're used to making a little bit more than that, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I keep my sanity, and, I'm saving money on, you know, psychiatry. Usually you do have to go through some kind of, it's like weird. It's like deprogramming or something after being in a cult or after being in, I don't know how to explain it. Or being at war. It's not being at war, but what I mean by that is just that, like, you're in a different reality and
Absolutely.
You have to kind of go through some kind of have to be led back to the one that you want to live, you know, which for me was not that.
Yeah, I'm going to assume, just to be safe, that some of our listeners may have never seen your documentary, or maybe have not even seen a trailer. Would you mind giving us like a 90-second synopsis of the storyline and what your ultimate goal was when you were scripting the documentary, or actually, to backtrack, maybe what you scripted it to be and then what it turned out to be as you were in the filming process and then in the editing process as well? Because I would imagine creatively doing a film, nonfiction or fictional, it always takes different turns as you are, you know, it doesn't end up being what you necessarily projected it to be at the beginning.
Should we say spoiler alert? No.
Spoiler alert.
That is actually exactly what happened. When I started, mm-hmm. I did want to show, I kind of wanted to have these women who I met, mm-hmm. Maureen Shea, Kimberly Tomes, and Susan Reno take the forefront. I wanted to kind of show you their lives and how hard they worked at a sport that was so unrewarding to women, like knowing that you're not going to make a ton of money, knowing that, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to be respected in a lot of gyms, and, you know, how difficult it is. And that we were still you know, doing everything we could to be the best that we could be. I mean, for me, that was just fascinating. And so I figured I would use my story in the background as a timeline. I was going to train for the Golden Gloves, and whatever happened, happened. And through that lens, I could see these girls. And then, yeah, during my training, some things went down that I did not expect. And I wound up being the main character in the film, which I did not plan for. So I actually had to go back and shoot all this other footage. And honestly, I do think the movie suffers a little bit for that, because I don't think, I didn't know that was going to happen. But at the same time,
you're being your own worst critic.
I was going to say, yeah, I think you totally are.
Yeah, that's typical. So, so I became like the main focus. And then mm-hmm. It took me 2 years to edit it because of that. And it took me 6 years to make it. And part of it, you know, I went into a very deep depression for a while. It was hard for me to do anything. Mm-hmm. And some of that was triggered by the boxing and how it kind of triggered some past abuse that I had experienced that I thought I was completely beyond. But it kind of, it, you know, physically, you trap these memories in your body. Mm-hmm. And they only come out physically. Like, you can talk the hell out of in your therapy about something or about your abuse, but to experience that kind of feeling again is terrifying, you know.
Mm. Something that so for people who don't know, Lynn and I had the chance to go to a screening at a university when we were in LA, and you were there and Maureen was there, and there were a lot of women in the audience, and what really struck me was how much your film struck a chord with all of these women. I would say probably, I don't know, I don't think anyone there was a boxer. One had a background. And after the film, you could just tell that it had struck a chord. And I think that really speaks to your storytelling. You think it's to the detriment that you were the main character, I think it allowed a lot of individuals to see themselves in the story.
Especially like even the non-sports stuff, because if all these people don't box, right, I think the whole audience, either as I said earlier, they either have experienced anxiety or depression or some combination of themselves, or have known people who have suffered from it, as well as abuse. And so I think I do feel like the film is it's a very empathetic film, encourages empathy. And not to make assumptions, because even the funny bits, like when you talked about your creative career history and how it included go-go dancing and whatever, you know, like I think the complexity of your journey is what actually makes any new audience member who watches the film feel like they're either not alone, or that like a human being really can fight through anything. I mean, not to sound cheesy, but I mean, your story, I think, would break most people.
Yeah.
So I you know, yes, you should not be so deprecating.
Thank you. That's really good. I mean, that's exactly what I wanted. Cause as you know, I kind of spill my guts on the screen. Like I literally kind of
Maureen really open up.
Yeah, me and Maureen, we open up and we kind of like, you can see everything. And so afterwards, I was saying at the screening, like, it's great because it kind of opens everybody up to talk about this kind of stuff about going through. And at the screenings, I used to just find them horrible, horrifying, but now I find them kind of healing in a way. And also I can see, you know, it's great when other women come up to me and tell me about their struggles and how this helps them. Or a lot of them say they want to box now. They want to take a boxing. I'm like, good. You know, I mean, not everybody's going to box, but like do something that's going to help you express yourself in a way that, you know, in the past we haven't really been encouraged to, like, you know, like in my film, I said I was an athlete, but my father encouraged me to play tennis. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I can hit stuff, you know, but it's with a racket and I'm wearing a skirt, you know? So,
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that. I was a rower. I was an angry person in a boat. I couldn't even make contact with anything.
I'm picturing her, like, poking people with her oar. Like,
I think the most aggressive we would ever get is if someone crossed your line and you got a chance to scream at them for it. That was about as aggressive as we got, I feel like. I can't remember if I had a chance to tell you this when we grabbed dinner after the screening, but when we were kind of talking to the different women in the room and everything, you know, on the whole thing of this film making women want to box, I had a girl come up to me and I'll never forget the way she came up to me. She came up to me and she said, I think I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I watch this. I think I might be a fighter. She's like, I think I want to do this. Like, how do I do this? And I think that's so cool.
She was so cute. It was very epiphany driven. Like,
yeah.
She was having her moment of greatness in the moment because she wasn't like super articulate or clear, but she was just processing it with us as we were standing there. And we were just rah-rahing her. You know, we're like, yeah, girl.
She said that as she was watching the film, she was, I think, identifying some of the feelings that you guys were having in herself. And, you know, she definitely talked about kind of on this whole thing of her father encouraging her to do other things than anything that included combat sports. And her kind of always knowing that there was this little itch there to scratch of, you know, allowing herself to be aggressive and feel those feelings, I think. And you could kind of see like the cogs turning in her head as she was talking to Lynn and I.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that it was a really cool experience, and that's 100%, you know, again, not to like keep uplifting you over and over and over again, although we probably could. Like, I think that speaks a lot to just how impactful your lens is and your storytelling is. So it's very, very cool.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate it because we didn't get the kind of attention that I feel like, you know, I do feel like it deserves more. It deserves more eyes on it. Because if people are feeling this way after watching it, I would love more people to see it, you know. So it's great when I hear from you or anyone that's affected them in this positive way or transformation, or that like other people are moved in some way. And the other thing, like you'd said before, is like most of them were not fighters or boxers, maybe none of them, except for that girl. but they relate to it. And a lot of them say, you know, I didn't want to see a movie with female fighters, but now I see it's so much more than that. And, you know, it's like, how do you sell yourself that way? Like, how do you say, well, it's Fight Like a Girl and stuff with these female boxers, but like, I can't explain to people that it's really about so much.
I'm sorry we got cut off. That's a total bummer. But, I would love to hear more about, you know, getting the film in front of more people and continuing the impact that it's having on people's lives.
Yeah. So I'm just hoping that in the future that we'll just continue to keep getting eyes on it. I mean, luckily today with film, you know, when it's on VOD especially, it can still be discovered like a couple years after it's been made and put out into the world. So I'm hoping that, you know, that will happen.
Yeah.
So what's next for you in terms of, you know, the sports side? So tell us a little bit more about the training process and the prep process for the Masters for Woolen Gloves and how you came to the decision that you wanted to do it. But then what's next as well for you?
Well, first of all, I mean, I lied about my age in the beginning. I fought in the regular amateurs, so I didn't want to be put in with, you know, an older. So I trained, you know, like, and I trained in New York. So I trained first at one gym and then at Gleason's. You know, you go for a run and then you're like at the gym for an hour and a half or so. And you have to rest. But then, of course, as an amateur, you also have to work your day job or whatever it is you do, you know. Mm-hmm. So it is quite exhausting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now in L.A., I work at a different gym, like same kind of schedule. I don't run as much now because I feel like it just takes too much out of me now. I think my body isn't as resilient as it was like when I first started. So I don't wear it out. I'd rather conserve my energy.
Or running is just the worst.
Yeah, it is that. It is that for sure. But it also, it just
no matter the age,
it's just not, you know. And I just try to keep my technical stuff. And the kind of boxer I am is I move and counter, move and counter. I'm not a brawler, you know, so I try to sharpen those things up so that I can do well. Because, you know, even in the Masters, I'm fighting girls who are like 10 years younger than me because I'm so old. You know? but, you know, I'm fighting younger girls. So, you know, they may have more energy than me and more, you know, cardio or whatever. But if I can just use the skills that I have, I can still beat them, you know? Yes, that's how that goes.
How is your pup doing? I saw that he wasn't doing so hot, by the way.
Oh, he's back to 100% now. He's good. Yeah. And the other one is the one that whines. She's just perfect. She's good too.
That sounds about right. So that's so funny. I love dogs. I have a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I would have all the dogs if I didn't live in an apartment.
Oh, I know. It's really hard. I think a lot of fighters like the dogs, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's a calming quality.
Yeah, I think, well, and you kind of can't beat someone who's stoked to see you when, like, all you want to do is lay on the ground. So,
exactly.
And they get the bonus of salty skin. So, yep.
Yes. It's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. So something you talked about is how you're kind of making that transition into becoming more of a coach, and you're actually training a couple of fighters now. How are you finding that transition from going from inside the ring to outside the ring? How's that going for you?
It's, you know, it's really interesting. I've always loved, like, teaching. I used to teach tennis, you know, and I think it's something that I'm naturally kind of good at, because also from directing, right? You know, I see what's wrong and I have to communicate, you know, what I want. And I'm very particular. Like, I'm not going to let you get away with bad form, you know, like a regular, like a cardio boxing class, you know, where where you're just flailing. No one's going to go up to you and correct you. I will correct you.
Right.
You know, so I've always enjoyed that, showing people the proper form. The hard thing is, though, yeah, it can be hard just watching the girls sparring, because I kind of want to get in there and do it too. And, you know, sometimes I have been, but I also know that, like, that time for me is over, and my time is better spent focused on my writing, which is what I'm doing right now. It takes so much focus and so much out of you when you want to fight, because, like, it becomes your priority. And I can't make fighting my priority anymore. I just can't. And I feel like I got out of it what I wanted. And while I still enjoy moving around and stuff, I do get a thrill out of showing girls stuff and watching them use it in sparring and have it work for them, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
That's the huge thrill right now, or coaching them, like watching a different kind of fighter and coaching them how, oh, and they'll fight this one in and out, go into this one, crash into them, do that. You know, just trying to figure out how to get your fighter to have the advantage is really cool, you know?
Yeah.
So there's technical things about it I really like. And then there's the part that's like, oh, I'm not going to be doing that anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I definitely, my husband and I talk a lot about it. There's this really interesting, you know, when you're an athlete, it's kind of all about you, and your coaches have to help you. And then when you become a coach, it's all about highlighting and elevating your athletes. And it's definitely a very, I don't want to say selfless, but it is in a way, because you do just as much work probably as your athletes, but you're not the one who gets the glory when they win. So, I mean, you do sometimes, right, obviously, but it definitely
takes...
But
you're also not getting punched in the face. You know,
that is a bonus. That's true. but it's definitely, it takes a special person to truly be a coach, I think. So I'm always impressed by people who, like, are really passionate about teaching others. And I think I enjoy teaching others, but I don't know if I'm that person. So I always appreciate people who have that passion themselves. So that's really cool.
But you're also in a different stage of your fight career, you know, of your fight life. Like, you're active. You're, like, you're getting into it and loving it and being enthusiastic. I sure wasn't either when I was at that stage, you know, because you need to have it be all about you.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel more comfortable. Like, I always honestly did feel a little uncomfortable when I was the center, it was hard for me to be like, oh, can I ask him to work my corner? Or is he going to not like that? Or she, you know, I felt uncomfortable asking people to focus on me.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I'm dealing with that right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I may have a fight in Pittsburgh again.
Have they still not got an opponent for you yet?
No, I do have an opponent, but I'm not sure if I've had, like, the hard yes yet. I think I have. I, like, until they say absolute, right? That's the way it is as a female fighter, right? It's hard enough, I feel like, when you're a fighter. You get these matchups, and then people get hurt, or people pull out. It's happened to my friends a lot, where people just pull out because they didn't train hard enough, which drives me crazy. I could do a whole podcast on how ridiculous that is. You know, for women, it's really hard to get matchups. So we're heading to Pittsburgh. We'll tell everyone about that for Society 9 in November, and I might be fighting on this card, and I am from Pittsburgh, and I want to ask my old coach if he'll corner me, but I know he has other athletes, mm-hmm. so I feel bad asking him to pay some attention to me. Sorry. So it's a weird, I feel like it, as women, it's hard enough to put your hand up, and then when you become a female athlete, you're kind of like, oh man, I need help. So.
Yeah, and then you feel all this pressure, like, well, then if he works my corner, I've got to, you know, A, I've got to win, B, mm-hmm. I've got to do what they say, and especially if, you know, I've barely ever had my actual coach in my corner, mm-hmm. you know, it's usually somebody else because I'm, you know, because of that, they've got clients to teach that day, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't work out that way for them. At the National Golden Gloves, I was really fortunate because Susan from my film happened to be a coach there. So I've known Susan, and granted, she didn't know my style the way I fight now, but she got on the phone with my coach in LA, and it felt good to have, like, wow, people are, like, planning it out for me, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, let her do this, have her do that, and of course, just her presence in the corner made me feel really safe and good. Mm-hmm. And just seeing her smiling and being like, you're doing it. You know, it was just such a great feeling. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to doing that for, you know, for other people.
That's awesome. Too. And you said you have two girls that are coming on up. That has to be exciting.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. The one girl, I met her at a place I just had gone to for, I was as a guest. And she just came over to me. I was sparring. She's like, you look like you know what you're doing. What do you, you know, do you, where are you coming from? And so I invited her to class, and she started training with me and my coach. And now she basically goes to my gym, and I've been taking her for sparring sessions. And we don't have a date yet, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. she's getting to the point where we're going to get her an amateur fight.
That's awesome.
That's really exciting.
And the other girl is another filmmaker, actually. And she doesn't want to be, you know, pro or be an amazing fighter, but she wants to have the experience, mm-hmm. and she definitely has, like, that aggressive gene, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm like, I think she kind of needs it.
Yeah.
She needs to have a fight, you know? So that's exciting. And then, you know, I have friends, my friends from New York, when girls move here, they send them my way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool to see that as well and see who else is going to maybe step it up.
So, or not,
you know.
You had mentioned also that you have a new upcoming screening for Fight Like a Girl in New York. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, what I think is great about these people, they're out of this gym called Work Train Fight on Bleecker and Broadway in New York.
I've heard of them.
And yeah, they're really cool. And they run a program for teen girls, mm-hmm. teaching them to box for empowerment. So they're basically doing the same kind of thing as me. And they're going to screen the film. And afterwards, they're going to have a panel of professional boxers, female boxers, talk about what it's like to be a female boxer.
That's amazing.
So I think Alicia Ashley's going to be there, Heather mm-hmm. Hardy. I think Maureen Shea and I will be on Skype. Susan will be there. So it's kind of a cool, you know, thing for the girls to hear, how it's, and also good to, for them to see these women who've made that decision and gone in the ring, mm-hmm. and see how it's affected them. So I'm excited. So it's going to raise money for their group, for their charity, you know, for their, program. So I'm stoked for that.
It's Work Train Fights charity, or the...
They're Out of Work Train Fight. Mm-hmm. I don't have a name of a charity. I think it's just They're Out of Work Train Fight.
Okay.
So, and it's going to be October 15th, and I'll be posting screenings on my website, fightlikeagirlthemovie.com.
Perfect. And will it be on Facebook as well?
Oh, yeah, it'll be on our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Fight Like a Girl Movie. Yeah.
Awesome. So we've kept you forever, especially after we got disconnected that first time. So we don't want to keep you all day because we know how crazy busy you are. So first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us and kind of let our community into the journey you've been on. And if you would like, we'd love for people to know how to get in touch with you, how to learn more about the film, if they want to take boxing lessons or hit some of your classes up in LA, how they can contact you. Pimp yourself. Tell us all how awesome you are. And
well, they can totally hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Jill Morley. Or they can go to the Fight Like a Girl Movie Facebook page. I think my email information is on the Fight Like a Girl the Movie, website. Mm-hmm. So any of those things, they can get in touch with me for sure.
And the website again is fightlikeagirlthemovie.com.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah, it's Fight Like a Girl the Movie. So I'll be posting the screenings and stuff like that up there. And I'm always happy to talk to people who are interested in this. And I don't know if you've noticed, I've been sending all my students to get your gear.
I have.
Because they're all like, this is amazing stuff.
Awesome. We have. We pack all the boxes, so we see them come your way. We're really excited about that. So thank you for mutually pimping us back. Thank you so much.
It's quality stuff.
Thanks, Jill. Oh, shucks, you're making us blush.
Thank you so much, Jill. Have an awesome day, and we'll definitely keep a lookout for that screening information.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lynn and Megan. Take care and have a great day. Okay.